Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
I speak to you in the name of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Please be seated. Good morning. What a beautiful day to be in church. Today's gospel reading is one of John's most comforting and most challenging. Jesus promises a future secure in the relationship to God and Jesus, empowered to do amazing things for the kingdom of God. Today's passage is from what has been named Jesus' farewell discourse. He is speaking to his most intimate friends and followers, the 11 disciples. This speech occurs between the time Judas left to betray him and when Jesus and others head over to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. This scene recalls the patriarchs on their deathbeds, bequeathing their belongings and imparting wisdom to their heirs. Jesus has no material goods, so he gives his disciples peace and the power to do even greater works than he has done himself while on earth. The farewell discourse weaves together the important thoughts that Jesus wants his friends to understand, since his way of being with them is ending. Jesus knows the disciples need to be reassured that the future and the way to the future are still reliable even after he's gone. This is a family conversation. It is a pep talk, a word of comfort and challenge for those who are already following Jesus. It is not a passage exploring other leaders and other paths. After getting some pushback in Bible study, which I appreciate, about this passage, after all, Jesus does say, no one comes to the Father except through me. I went and I consulted five different Bible commentaries to see what they have to say about this. This passage has been used to other people. We're in, they're out kind of thing, which I don't think is what Jesus is all about. So I consulted five, and every single one of them cautions that this passage was written to people who were already Christians, and it is not intended to state that those who aren't in our flock are excluded from communion with God. After all, especially in John's gospel, Jesus is inclusive. Does not Jesus say in chapter 10, verse 6, that he has sheep that do not belong to this fold? As theologian Richard Boyce says, grace, love, and communion belong to God and are not ours to determine. Jesus says to his friends, do not let your hearts be troubled. In some translation, it says, do not let your heart be troubled, giving the group a communal heart. I like that one. They and we are all in this together as one body. He isn't telling them not to be sad at his leaving. The word used for troubled is used for the distress we feel when we encounter evil, and it seems to be winning. He wants his disciples to trust that his departure has a purpose that is served, and that it serves God and the Father's loving plan for the world. Next, Jesus tells the disciples and us what they and we need to do. Believe. Believe in God. Believe also in me. The word for trust or believe occurs 98 times in the Gospel of John. And every single time, it is a verb and not a noun. Belief in Jesus is something we live, not something we think. There are three ways that this sentence can be translated or have meaning that are all true. We just have to decide which one we like. Trust God, trust me. You already trust God, now trust me also. And you already trust in God, you already trust in me. And it's interesting to wonder why certain people use one and not the other, but it's something for you to just contemplate. Jesus speaks of my Father's house, which is more than a heavenly residence after we die. Jesus is speaking of the relationship of indwelling between God and Jesus. He's telling his disciples that his return to the Father makes it possible for us to be included in that indwelling and participate in the same relationship he and his Father share. I love the imagery of Jesus going to prepare a place for us in his Father's house. Right now, Jim and I are remodeling our kitchen and are rethinking how we wish our home to be. Fortunately, we both enjoy this and the considerable thought and time necessary to make it happen. But we're making a home that feeds our souls. Imagine God doing that for each one of us, preparing a place individual to each of us, that will feed our souls for eternity. Verses 6 and 7 in chapter 10 are the summation of what John believes Christ to be. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The main move here is to remind the disciples that their future dwelling place is already in his person. That Jesus and John never tires of this move, looking for water. I'm here, John chapter 4. Looking for bread, here I am, John chapter 6. Looking for a dwelling place, a mansion with room enough for all, maybe even a few who are not in this flock. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, me right in front of you. Me, now talking to you, me that makes the Father and the future known to you. The constant move of Jesus and John is to recognize our fears regarding the future, then to ask us to overcome them by abiding in Jesus' presence in the present. Jesus reassures his disciples, you know enough because you know me. We know enough about how to be because we know Jesus. Keep your eyes on me, on how I lived and what I taught, and the paths will always be life-giving that you follow. If that isn't comforting, I don't know what is. We have never had the privilege of meeting the flesh and blood Jesus. But thanks to the Gospels of John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we do know him. And because we know him, we know God. We know that God is perfect love. We know that we are to walk in the way of Jesus, loving, serving, helping others. We are to sacrifice our egos and nurture patience, gentleness, kindness, joy, empathy, and tolerance. If we do, we will have life and have it abundantly. To conclude, I want to go back to the image of a home. Home is ideally a place of safety, of creativity, a place of relationship. Do we really have to wait until Jesus returns to have a place where our souls can grow and mature? A place which helps us to be the people who follow the way of Jesus? Can we design for ourselves while still on earth an environment that also cares for mind, body, and spirit? We all need a place of rest, serenity, and joy. I urge you to consider if you have such a place in your life. Is there something we can do to our surroundings to make them reflect our uniqueness? Something that will allow our souls to grow? Something we can do in our lives to invite God to live with us and amongst us? Think about experiences that have brought you joy or peace, experiences that have enriched your mind, your body, your hearts, and your souls. How can we incorporate them into our surroundings? We all should ask the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit need to be more a part of our living environment? I hope this may encourage you to look around your homes with new eyes. But if this all sounds like voodoo to you, also know that this church is your home too. You are welcome here any day of the week. If you need to escape to sacred space, just let me know when you want to be here, and I will do my best to be here to let you in. Someone once said, dance like nobody's watching, love like you've never been hurt, sing like nobody's listening, live like it's heaven on earth. Living like it's heaven on earth may bring our spiritual homes in heaven and on earth closer together. Amen.